Imagine a love so passionate that it lights up your brain like a fireworks show, even after 30 years of marriage. What if the secret to that kind of enduring passion isn't luck, but science-backed habits that you can start doing right now? Let's dive into the neuroscience of lasting love and discover how to keep your relationship electric for decades. Up next, Unmaster Your Marriage.
Did you know the average couple waits 6 years to get help in their marriage?
Yeah, that's 6 years of pain, hurt, and frustration.
Hi there, I'm Charla Snow.
And I'm Robert Snow.
And welcome to Master Your Marriage,
where we believe that having an amazing marriage should never feel like hard work and shouldn't be a guessing game.
This is the show for married couples who want to discover a scientifically proven approach to building a masterful marriage and have fun while doing it.
So if that's you, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to the next episode of Master Your Marriage. I'm excited to be here.
This one's going to be kind of exciting.
I love this topic. Yeah. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I like this because in the past, we've been talking, almost the past year, been talking about what not to do.
Exactly.
The don't list. And we're going to start talking about the do list.
Yeah, we've spent a number of episodes talking about communication and conflict and repair.
Defensiveness.
What not to do.
Yeah.
But we need to let you in on a little secret. So just focusing on what not to do will never create a passionate, lasting marriage. If your relationship is in somewhat of a crisis mode right now and you are seeking help, I want you to really hear this. Even the best therapy in the world will never work if you only focus on fixing your conflicts. Conflict is just like one side of the coin. Yes, it's a very important side of the coin. It's an important component because all the predictors for divorce point to how we do conflict.
Right.
But
if you think about it, if you've now stopped having conflict, what do you have left? So even though conflict management is great in and of itself, it doesn't create this deep abiding love and this deep abiding connection. So today we're flipping the coin over and we're going to talk about the other side. What we need to add into our marriage rather than the things we need to remove from our marriage.
Excellent. I'm excited.
Yeah. Today's episode, Brain-Based Strategies for Lasting Love, is all about what does create all the things that you want. So have you ever wondered why some couples seem to stay just blissfully and madly in love for like 20, 30, even 40 years worth of marriage? And yet other couples and other relationships just sort of run their course.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
If this has been a question that's on your mind, pay attention because this episode's going to be the one for you.
And so what we're doing today is we're actually going to turn to the work of Dr. Helen Fisher, and she is a world-renowned expert on the biology of love.
More science.
Yeah, I love it.
I love science.
I love it. Yeah. And we're going to geek out a little bit today because this is really good stuff. And we're going to break it down, though. We're going to break down her research in a way that's easy to digest. We're going to give you actionable knowledge today that you can start to apply in your relationship today, right away. And that's always our goal with every episode, not just fluff, you know, but tangible evidence-based wisdom with clear actionable steps that can help you and your partner to master your marriage or to master your relationship.
I feel like changing the end of the intro. Mm-hmm. I always say, up next on Master Your Marriage. Or to say, coming up next, grab your pencil because we're going to give you some homework.
Maybe we'll do that next week.
Yeah, maybe we'll try that next week. All right. So before we get into the specific strategies, we're going to read a review from just this last week, last week's episode.
Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know how much I thoroughly enjoyed and learned from your last podcast. This one last week was about defensiveness and it was so timely for me. I need to listen again and take notes. Close quote.
I love getting that feedback. You know, that is such a relatable issue. It's such a universal problem for all of us. I don't think there's a single person out there who hasn't struggled with defensiveness. Yeah. And that was our topic last week.
Yeah, without a doubt. So thank you so much for sharing the impact that had on you. And of course, if your review or your comments are read on the show, we're going to send you a little gift in the mail. So look for that. We appreciate you supporting the show.
Great. So let's get back to today's episode and talk about who Helen Fisher is, because her credentials are impressive and her work on the neuroscience of passion and love is really fascinating. So Helen Fisher is a biological anthropologist and a researcher. She's a PhD in anthropology, and she has spent decades studying the evolution of human sex, of love, of marriage, and of gender differences by studying the brain. What you probably have heard her name used in conjunction with is that she's a pioneer in using the functional magnetic resonance imaging, so we call that fMRI or brain scans, to peek inside our heads to see what is happening inside of our brain when we're in love.
So that's sort of the broader picture. Let's just zoom in on our research. Dr. Fisher has scanned the brains of hundreds, actually thousands of people in different stages of love. So when you think about the different stages of love, the first one is like those freshly infatuated. She scanned a bunch of, you know, people who were just fell in love. The second group is those who were heartbroken, those who realized that it wasn't right or somebody cheated or whatever. Sure. So torn apart.
Okay.
You've just been gutted. I'd be interested in seeing that one, by the way. I wonder what happens there. And then third, crucially, those in long-term partnerships who claim that they are, quote, still madly in love.
So these three
to determine the difference between those three.
So these are three different groups that she has scanned the brains of.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So hundreds and hundreds in each group.
There's one in particular, a landmark study that was published in 2012 in the Journal of Social, Cognitive, and Affective Neuroscience. And it focused on individuals. This is a really cool one, who had been married for an average of 21 years.
So long.
So she wasn't taking newlyweds. She was looking at people who had been in relationships up to 30 years. And they weren't just content couples. This was also key. These were people who self-reported that they were madly in love. So 20 years in love, 25 years, 30 years, and self-reporting that they were madly in love, meaning that they still had these intense romantic feelings of passion for each other. They scored still high on passionate love, on sexual frequency, and how close they felt they were to each other. So what does all of that mean? It means that they used brain scans to see what is happening in the brain of happily married couples who'd been together a really long time and still were passionately in love.
Dr. Fisher also cross-referenced her work with a meta-analysis by a psychologist named Marcel Zimmer. And if you know anything about meta-analysis, it's where they take multiple studies across a single area or study area, and they look for things and areas and topics that correlate. And as she did this, one thing really stood out in her meta-analysis: the ability to maintain certain brain-based habits is the secret sauce for keeping romance alive in your relationship. Dr. Fisher identifies four key attributes of couples who sustain love over the long haul. And these aren't just feel-good tips. These are brain-based habits and behaviors that are rooted in how our brains process reward, bonding, and positivity.
Okay, we are going to cover each of these habits one by one. And we're going to start with physical connection. Then we're going to talk about positive illusions, and then verbalizing uplifting things. And then we're going to wrap up with talking about planning goals and experiences together. And we're going to end with that one because we have a fun announcement later in the show we're going to announce.
Okay. First up, staying physically connected. Dr. Fisher's research shows that physical intimacy is not optional for lasting love. It's essential for your brain. In her brain scans, long-term lovers reported sexual frequency around twice a week on average. And this is correlated with activations in the arousal and attachment areas of the brain. So physical touch, connection, super important.
So let's talk about specifically why this physical connection is so important, why it matters. Yeah. So when we talk about this from a biological standpoint, we're talking about what's happening in the biology of the body and in the brain. We know that testosterone levels in both men and in women actually increase, at least temporarily, when we have sex. Even the anticipation of sex can trigger a temporary boost in testosterone. Pretty cool. So this can become a loop where sex drives up our testosterone, which then further boosts desire to have more intimacy with our partner. And then orgasm will flood the brain with oxytocin and vasopressin. So these are hormones that cause deep bonding. And it's bonding that is similar almost to the parent-child bond that we see. So sex creates the chemistry of attachment. Not just sex, though. Non-sexual touch matters as well.
Yeah. Non-sexual touch is equally as important,
yeah,
if not more important than any sexual intimacy. So don't dismiss the activities like hand-holding or cuddling, because it has the same impact on oxytocin. It triggers the same amount of oxytocin, which then helps reduce stress and build trust. Also very similar to, you know, giving us the cuddle hormone again.
Yeah, that attachment, right? Yeah. I feel connected to you, similar to, again, that parent-child deep bonded connection.
Right. So, and your first tip for today is prioritize touch daily. Fall asleep in each other's arms. Play footsie under the table or even under the covers. Or if life is really busy, schedule time for sexual intimacy. If it gets that busy, then scheduling that also works. It's all about keeping those brain chemicals flowing to sustain that craving for partnership, and also creating an opportunity for vasopressin and oxytocin to be released.
Yeah. And I kind of want to come back to what you just said about scheduling it. What I find is that when we have had scheduled sexual intimacy, for me, I guess, I mean, of course, it always comes down to the story that you tell yourself and the meanings that you're creating. Mm-hmm. But often for me, I have really noticed that anticipation actually drives that testosterone, which drives that positive feedback loop where I want to have more sexual intimacy. So I know there's a lot of people who say, oh, you know, if you're scheduling sex, that's just not spontaneous and that's not fun. But it really is not the case. I guess if that's the meaning you want to create from it, then that could be true. But for me, I find, again, we know anticipation is something that drives that boost in testosterone.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So that was strategy number one, is what? Physical connection. Strategy number two for your brain, for lasting love, is to cultivate positive illusions. And this is one of Dr. Fisher's favorites that she talks about in a lot of her lectures and papers that she writes. And it comes straight from her brain scans as well. So her scans showed that long-term lovers have reduced negativity. And she calls it having positive illusions. So what does positive illusions mean? It means that you're viewing your partner through rose-tinted glasses. It's choosing to focus on their strengths, like how kind they might be, or how funny they are, or what they've done to contribute to making your life more wonderful, more joyous, while also at the same time kind of overlooking some of those minor flaws that they have, that we all have.
You know, you just said something, and I'm trying to figure out how to work it in, but long-term lovers.
Yeah.
I love that term. I really do. Because we talk about long-term relationships. We talk about long-term marriages. We talk about people who have, oftentimes when we talk about marriage, we talk about people who, like, yeah, they managed to stick it out for 50 years. Like, stick it out?
Mm-mm.
That doesn't sound fun. Like fun. But long-term lovers. Yeah. I like that.
I want that.
Yeah. I think that probably was what I meant to say. I want that. I want to be a long-term lover.
Forever.
Yeah.
I think
that's really cool.
Yeah. So negativity bias. This is something that you talked about in the beginning. The couples who were reportedly madly in love, long-term lovers.
Yeah.
This part of their brain is downregulated.
Love blind.
That they are focused more on what was going right in their relationship rather than what was going wrong in their relationship.
Yeah, that's just so perfect. Yeah. And it's not just Fisher's research that supports us. The Dr. Gottman's, both Gottman studies, they support exactly the same thing, as well as Zenmeyer's meta-analysis that we mentioned previously. So this is rooted, this theory is not really a theory because it's rooted in solid evidence. The couples who idealize each other, they're just in love and madly in love, they stay the happiest, even as life changes.
And by idealize, we mean you're looking for the good.
Yeah.
That you are love blind in a sense that, yes, we all have flaws. We all have idiosyncrasies and weird little habits, but those become less important.
Yeah.
And this is so validating for me because I really believe that our life outcomes really come down to the stories that we tell ourselves. What are the stories I'm telling myself about this marriage, about this person that I've chosen to partner with? Yes, we're all flawed. Every single one of us is flawed, and we can choose to spend all of our energy on these flaws, or we can actively focus on what is good and right, and how this person enriches my life in so many ways.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't apply to every relationship. So we
no,
do.
No. And there's a huge caveat to this. And as you can imagine, this isn't the same as ignoring like abusive behaviors, abusive actions. If there's hurtful behavior, really hurtful behavior, there's a difference. And that's not okay. And if you're unsure if that's the case, let's have a conversation.
Okay. So here is one way that you can apply this brain hack right now. So
I like this.
The next time you have a small little frustration or a little annoyance that comes up in your relationship, I want you to take a breath. I want you to remember this wisdom that we are talking about and sharing today from Dr. Fisher's work. And I want you to, in your mind, list three things that you admire about this person. Okay. Three things that you admire about this person, because over time, what that's going to do is it's going to start to rewire your brain for more joy. Just like in those scanned couples who Fisher studied, who had that center of their brain downregulated, this is going to help you to be able to rewire your brain as well.
All right. That leads us to the third attribute, which is verbalizing and uplifting positive things every day. Fisher's interviews show that long-term lovers, love that term, don't just think positive thoughts about each other. They express positive thoughts about each other, saying, "I appreciate how you made this coffee this morning," or "You're so thoughtful," reinforces the emotional regulation pathways that are seen in the scans. Mm-hmm. I think I called you this morning just to tell you how awesome you were.
Yeah.
Because you checked off a bunch of goals.
Yeah. Yeah. So it goes beyond just thinking positive thoughts. That was the second hack that we shared. It's expressing those thoughts. So when you verbalize positive things to the other person, it does two really important things. First is that it makes your partner feel valued, which activates their brain's reward system and releases dopamine.
Right. And number two, it motivates this mutual positivity. The dopamine hit doesn't just stay with your partner. When you express appreciation, your brain also gets a dopamine boost because you're engaging in a rewarding social behavior. This then, as you can imagine, creates this wonderful positive feedback loop between you and your partner.
Yeah. The more it's a positive snowball effect. If you think about it, I say something positive to you to appreciate you and to tell you two or three positive things about you.
And I feel like saying kind things to you as well.
Right. You get a dopamine hit. I get a dopamine hit. And then that reward center is lit up and we want to do it again because it feels good.
It felt great. It was fun.
So it's a positive feedback loop. And I think you could also see how this could happen in reverse for negative sentiment override.
So here's a pro tip. You can start this week, verbalize these two or three positive things that Charlotte talked about every single day to sustain attachment and reduce resentment.
It seems so simple, but it is such a powerful habit to start.
And if you miss that, maybe the doing the two or three things during the day, like end your day by just sharing something you're grateful for. Like, and it's simple. It's simple. Just like, you know, I really appreciate what you do for me. I really appreciate the way that you did X, Y, or Z, or, you know, thank you for touching me. Like, just any of those things. I think that as we think positive things, if we get in the habit of just expressing them and verbalizing them, it will, you know, it will stimulate this positive feedback loop. And this is what the brain needs. And it builds these neural connections for lasting love, lasting dopamine release, and then even oxytocin and vasopressin.
Okay. The last but not least, one of our favorites to talk about is the last brain hack is planning and going on unique experiences together and working toward creating future memories together.
I love that.
And you know what is also, as you're creating these future memories and tying your goals together, if you can include novel experiences that you're creating together, the brain loves that. So Fisher's brain research shows that this is crucial for dopamine. Remember, in early love, everything is flooding the rewards centers. So you're getting all of those dopamine hits because everything you do is new. It's the first time you kiss. It's the first time you make out in the backseat of the Jeep. It's the first time you go for a walk on the beach. Like
first time you held hands.
Everything is new.
All the firsts,
so you're just getting all of these hits of dopamine nonstop. But then when things start to become normal and routine, a little bit mundane from time to time, we start to lose those hits of dopamine. So long-term couples, long-term lovers.
That's our new, we're going to try and work that in. Yeah.
They need to be intentional. They need to be a lot more intentional to introduce fresh goals, to introduce fresh ideas, activities, so that you can continue to provide those hits of dopamine.
I love that. When we grow together through goals, through challenges, we wire our brain for longevity. One way you can do this right now in your relationship is to plan some new goals together, things that maybe you've never done before. You could start with going on maybe new different types of dates. Try a new restaurant. Try a different vacation spot. Take a walk in a different park, right? Even have sex in new and different places. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't need to be extravagant. It just needs to be different, because when it's different, your brain is wiring this new experience and you're releasing dopamine. As we do this, your brain is just firing these dopamine centers all throughout the brain. You're getting tons of activity. Zender's data echoes this, which shows that shared goals and shared growth predicts the longevity of these relationships for long-term lovers.
Yeah. And this is where something Robert and I love to talk about. It's something we love teaching couples about. And we get asked to talk about this every year, right around the start of the new year, because Robert and I are every year, we are updating our goals for the year and setting up what are our future memories going to be for this year. And so this is something we're going to be doing again next month. And we've been asked to do it again virtually for you guys to join in and learn what we do exactly step by step. So we are doing a virtual summit on aligning values and goals. And it's going to be on November 29th this year. We're doing it a little bit earlier so that we can get it in before Christmas, so that you can have all of those ideas flowing before the new and all the tools before 2026 hits. So that is something we are hosting. It's all about designing goals together, envisioning your future together as a couple. And it's perfect for this tip that we just shared with you today, because it's all about planning those unique experiences. So spots are going to be limited in this class. If you want to join us, it is online. Head over to masteryourmarriage.us. masteryourmarriage.us to sign up. There's an announcement banner at the top of the page where you can just click on register. If you can't find that, of course, you can just email us at masteryourmarriage@gmail.com and we'll get that over to you.
Absolutely.
To wrap up today's episode and Helen Fisher's work, it proves that lasting love is biological. It's not mythical. It's not out of reach. We actually know biologically how to do it. And by staying physically connected, number one, number two, holding on to positive illusions of one another, and three, verbalizing our gratitude to one another, and then planning goals and novel experiences together, you can hack your brain for enduring, passionate, what was it?
Long-term lovers.
To be long-term lovers.
I love that.
So try one of these tips that we shared with you this week. Your relationship and your brain will thank you.
Well, thanks for being with us today. If this show, of course, resonated with you, we'd love for you to scroll to the bottom of your player, give us a 5-star review. And if there's somebody in your life that you feel like might benefit, please share the show with them. As always, come on over and chat with us on Instagram at Master Your Marriage, or visit masteryourmarriage.us for more information.
Be kind to each other this week. Put each other first. Remember, it's the small things done often that create the biggest impact.
Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Master Your Marriage. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, then we want to hear from you. Just go to masteryourmarriagepodcast.com and send us your question.
Oh, and while you're there, you can also check out our retreats and events and even apply for coaching.
And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get advanced notice of when the next episode drops, plus show notes and many extras. Thanks again for tuning in.